angry with God. Angry with God. If we go to the next slide. If I could rewind your life back to when you were 21, would you have taken a different path? Would you go to a different way in life than what it is you are today? Would you say, I'm aware of special gift that God has given me? Or are you angry? Angry with God? Was your life worth living up to now, if I have to ask? Is your life worth living up to now? Is it really worth it right now? Or would you say, I was hoping to get a special, greater gift that God has given me? Now, I have gone through life for 75 years. I have not discovered my special gift, and I'm pleading with God, where is my gift? For a number of years, I went through, where is my gift that you say in your word, and your word is the truth, if we go to the Bible? So I took the Bible and I said, I'm going to study this and find out what is going on in the life of a human being that calls himself a Christian and don't know what it is. So angry with God is really something that I think most of us will agree upon. If we go to Ephesians 4:7, I have not received my special gift. And if it says there on Ephesians 4:7, Christ gave each one of us a special gift. Really? Christ gave each one of us a special gift. Everyone received what he wanted to give them. That is why the scriptures say, he went up on high into the sky and he took prisoners with him. He gave gifts to people. Will you please stand up and tell me, what gift did you get? We're all asking that question. Are you critical? The kind of person critical? If I touch this soft point and say I'm angry with God? Or are you the uplifting kind? And say, I have studied the scripture in the word of God, in the Bible. It has guided me and directed me to give me a different view of what I'm thinking about. Maybe if you look at your life, maybe you said, God, I stood in the wrong queue when you were dishing out gifts. I was in that gift where it says sorrows and plagues. Not in the line of gifts. Maybe that's why I missed it. How would your family and friends describe you? How would your family and friends describe you with your character? Are you the kind? Or are you down? Criticizing? How would you say, how would you rate yourself? You can rate yourself. I'm not going to rate it. It is between you and God to rate you. When you are angry at God, surviving in an angry world, I'll tell you, it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to be a Christian. So I searched the Bible and I said, I want to know, what am I to do? And this is what I would like to speak to you about today. If we go even further, 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. What? Here it is again. A great variety of spiritual gifts. Quite often I seek emotional upliftment, and I'm sure many of you also look for that emotional upliftment. Are you happy and excited all day long? From the moment you get up until you hit that pillow? Or were there some times where you really felt, God, is this worth it? I was so angry. Do you give advice and inspire other people? So I'm just putting a few things out here that I want you to think about. If we go to Romans 1:11, hit me again. For I want very much to see you in order to share a spiritual blessing with you to make you strong. Now when I read that, I said, God, what do you want me to do? And it took me a long time to put these words on paper so that I can share it with you. To make you strong. What are the scriptural principles for being an uplifter? Let's go and look at those. Encouragement is not a luxury. Encouragement is not a luxury. It's a necessity. It's a rough world out there. It's not easy to be a Christian out there. And as a Christian, we simply cannot help but to encourage others. It is a necessity and we have to do it. Let's look at Acts 10:4. It says, are you disappointed or angry? There's a nice picture there that I found. Look at that young one. For you young ones, I would like to welcome Jason and Tom here. They're from mainland China. They're with us for a while. It's nice to have them here. Are you angry and disappointed at God sometime? Let's go to Acts 10:4. God has heard your prayers. The next slide. God has heard your prayers and has seen your gifts to the needy. He remembers you and all you have done. So here's an instruction that was given in Acts to Christians to say, have you done something? Not waiting for the gift to fall in my lap. Have you done something? We must learn the art of encouragement that we've received from Jesus and learn practical ways that we can follow Jesus, because that's exactly what Jesus did. Wherever he went, everyone that could see light, he uplifted. Whether it was healing or whether it was, say, here comes a true Hebrew. Can he say, here comes a true child of God? Can he really say that? And that's what I want to cover today. Or no, God, I'm still waiting for my gift as I have done. We complain, but God, you've given me only one talent. I was standing in the wrong line when you gave the talent. Not 10 like others. If I look around me and I see a lot of people got 10 talents. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that is in you, which was given to you when the prophets spoke and the elders laid their hands on you. Most of you, if not all of you, were baptized. A gift was given during that time. The baptized gift. Yes, you were baptized. And a gift was given. That's what the Bible says. Let me ask, does this apply to you and to me to neglect the greatest gift that we have received? The greatest gift that was ever given to humanity was the gift of the Holy Spirit during baptism. What a gift! And we neglect it. We look down, we crumble, and we complain. It seems there's always been a misunderstanding regarding the gift received. We expect a special talent, a special gift. That's what we expect, a special gift. And we say, I'm not good at anything. I'm not good at anything, God. I'm not good at the best. I'm not the best tennis player. Where's my gift? Or any sport? I did not choose my parents. That would have been nice to have parents like, name those billionaires. It would have been nice. But I didn't choose it. I was born in a mud brick house in the middle of the African bush. Could not speak a word of English. God, where was I when you distributed gifts? I missed it. I cannot love my neighbor. I cannot even love my spouse. I cannot, never mind, love my enemy. Where's that gift of love that is supposed to be? God is truth and God is love, and I don't have it. And I was seeking for it. Feeling angry. Yes, most of us were angry. And most of us are still having that angry feeling deep inside us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities. The what? The special abilities the Spirit gives you. I don't want you to misunderstand this. The answer is in the Word of God. And we have to go and dig it out like the way in South Africa they dig 1, 2, sometimes 3 kilometers down to go and find a little diamond this size. Will you do that? Or gold? I took Juliet and the family down in a gold mine in South Africa. You cannot believe that rock face that they have to take and extract that gold. We're waiting for those special abilities and we say, God, where is it? And God says, go and find it. What is a normal response when you ask someone today? How are you today? What do you get? Oh, not bad. As if it should be bad. Oh, it's not bad. How about, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay. As if it shouldn't be okay. How about, oh, you know. Or, ay, 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 ay. Or as they say, Juliet's work. Same old story. Same old story. On a Monday morning, I get to work. And they ask me, Johannes, how was your weekend? Now, sometimes I answer in different ways, but this one really shook them. I say, I'm so glad that the death penalty has been removed from me. Now, if there are a lot of people, you can imagine when they heard this, and I especially say it odd, what is going through their mind. This man is from South Africa. Maybe he's a murderer. And now he's living and working in the same country, same company as us. Now, why would I give such a response? I want their attention so that I can plant a seed in their mind. Especially if they come and ask me, tell me more about it. My mission is to share the gospel because every one of us in this room was on death row at some point in time. Everyone. On death row. And I'm trying to get those people to understand there is a choice that one can make not to be on death row. There's a gift of salvation. Many times I answer that I cannot believe that someone can love me so much. Oh, what did your wife do to you? I said, no, it's far more inner in my heart than what I have just said. Little things like that, that sparks off another conversation to someone that will, I test the ground, I test the soil. Has God done something in this human being heart? To find if they are ready to receive that gift that is waiting for everyone that comes to Christ and say, I need a different lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly waited for the return of your Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end. So when I was in my anger state, and you start searching for this in the scripture, you come across this. Now you have every spiritual gift you need. God is busy working in our lives, and many people we have to get into contact with is I'm preparing myself to respond to them in such a way that I can plant that little seed in their lives. That's what I want to share with you today, that you can also do that to help others. I have a number of ways that I ask a question. Here's a question that I ask a lot of people. Was your weekend uplifting and inspiring? And do you have enough energy to go through this week? What do you mean? What do you mean? And then I give them a few things, like a car or a vehicle running empty and you fill up after a long drive and you're worried and now you've got energy to continue. And here I go to the Infinity Parts Manager, Assistant Parts Manager, and I did the same thing as what I've just told you. So maybe I should go to church. There was a seat. That person is ready. And I keep on saying, your time is ready. There's a knock on your door. Maybe I should go to church. Not maybe. Go and find that spiritual gift and you will have that energy. I planted the seed. God makes it to grow. Hallelujah. Still angry at God because I have not discovered my spiritual gift? God, did you really and truly give me that excellent gift? But God, I still don't know what my gift is, because Jesus spoke in parables that very few people understood. We are now doing the small group study in Revelations, and there's beasts and there's all kinds of things in there that is absolutely above the mind of every person, unless you go and find the truth in there. How can I all understand this and find my spiritual gift? Now think back in your life. Did somebody say something to you when you were smaller that you still remember today that uplifted you? I have a few. I have a few that really stands out in my mind. It's now midday. Okay? How many people have you uplifted today? How many people have you said, you look nice today? Wow, it's nice to see you. Wow, I like that smile. Or, did you see that dress of that lady? It depends on how and when you meet people. And if you look at the next slide, don't compare yourself to others. There is no comparison between the sun and the moon. The sun shines when it's time for them to shine. The moon shines when it's time for the moon to shine. Don't compare yourself to others. Not at all. Jesus says, I've given you many gifts. What is the first gift that Christ has given us when you became a Christian? What is the first gift? The gift of salvation, forgiveness from all our past sins. Gift of wisdom that the world has not received. The gift of faith, the gift of love, the gift of trust, the gift of fellowship, of laughter, the gift of worship, and the gift to talk. Now I'm going to touch a very touchy point. The gift to speak. These gifts of encouragement can be shared with others. Let me show you these gifts. Can you look at the person next to you, behind you, etc.? Just look at it. Don't look at me. Look at the person next to you and say thumbs up. Can you do this? Thumbs up. I want to see a thumb up. Yes, look at the person next to you. Thumbs up. I did that yesterday on the bus. A 12-year-old girl, more or less. The bus is full of water. Someone dropped a newspaper in the middle of the aisle. People are falling over it. And she got up and took it and put it on the side. And I just went like this to her. And that big smile and the red face, it was so uplifting. Look at the person next to you and give that person a smile. Ken, I'm smiling at you. You feel better? It's a simple gift. It's a gift that God has given us. Animals cannot do it. We do it from the heart and from the mind to uplift others. Right? Encouragement is not physical. It's spiritual. You can't see encouragement. I can't take encouragement here and show it to you. It's something here from the heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 to 15. I shortened it a little bit. So encourage each other and help each other grow stronger in faith. Beautiful. Grow stronger in faith. Just as you are already doing, encourage those who are afraid. Help those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. This is how God wants you to live in Christ Jesus. It's not my instruction. I came across this in the Word of God that gave me instruction on what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. It's here in front of us. Now, when I studied this, I realized that I had to repent. I had to look at something completely different in my life and say, God, where and when can I do this? So, it is now something that I am concentrating on, and I'm putting it on to you so that you can also start looking and uplift others with the spiritual gift that you have received and you don't know what it is. God has given you a gift. Use it to uplift others. Use it. Nice words, a smile, a thumbs up, a wave, not condemnation. On the night before Jesus was crucified, what did he do? He told his disciples, I'm going to die and I'm going to leave you behind. He didn't give them just nice words. He told them what is going to happen. He told them that they are going to be hated and persecuted. But he says, I will be with you always. Isn't that nice? To encourage is to act like Jesus. The encourager. Help those that need help. That's what the Bible says. Help those that need help. Encourage them. John 15:26. I will send you another helper. A what? A helper. An encourager. From the Father. He is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. What did we get? A helper and an encourager, a spiritual gift that we all received the day when we gave our life to Christ. And we complained, God, I did not discover my gift yet. And right in your mind and in your heart, it is there. And I say, God, I need an answer. And God answers, you've received the Spirit of truth and wisdom for free. Free. I didn't have to go and pay a penny for it. You're a lamp on a lampstand. Be a light in this dark world. Be a light in this dark world. Didn't you used to say that? You are a lamp. You bumped into many people. And how many people did you uplift and encourage the last week? Can I show hands? Show me how many people did you uplift last week? Beautiful. Beautiful. I get nervous if I just see hands go up. We complain, but God, no one has encouraged me during this week. That's not important. Jesus answers, trust me, I'm here to help you. Give, and it shall be given. Give, and it shall be given. By your speech and by your actions, even in small things such as, I appreciate your smile. Oh, thank you. You look happy, you encourage that person. But you must speak it from the heart. Jesus says, I'm standing at the door. Now just think for a moment. Jesus is standing at the door and then he says, by your words you shall be judged. Now when I came across that, by your words you shall be judged. And by your words you shall be condemned. That's scary. The Spirit gives us words to encourage others. Matthew 25:28. The Lord said, take the talent, that gift that you got. He only received one. Take that one gift that he received and give it to those or that person that received 10. You mean I'm going to lose that one gift, that one talent that I got? I don't want that to be taken away. A spiritual gift is a necessity of a child of God. By God's grace, we who believe are the lamp in this dark world. God has given human beings total freedom to choose. Then the great commission to go and tell others. Christ is at the core of the gospel. It's the only hope for humanity. And you've accepted that hope the day when you were baptized. It's the knowledge of the cross of the risen Christ. Nothing else. Christ. Nothing else but the cross. The risen Christ. The good news of salvation for all humanity who comes to Jesus. Paul encouraged the church in Colossus. Colossians 2:2. Paul wrote, I want them to be encouraged. Can you see that word? I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan. Those things in Revelation, the mysterious plan of God, the parables of Jesus. I want them to understand it, which only pointed to one thing, to Christ Himself. And if you drop to 4:11, it says they have been a great comfort to me. Here's Paul, and he's teaching me 2,000 years later, Johannes, you were on the wrong road. You have it already. It's in the Bible. Read it, understand it, grasp it. Philemon 4 says, there's no slide for it. You have. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, Paul writes. It's like holding hands of those two young ones. Much joy and comfort for your kindness, your encouragement has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That's what life is about. Encourage others to comfort God's people. Encouragement is not a luxury, it's a necessity, as I said. Thumbs up. Wave. Smile. Encourage one another. You can right now say to the Lord Jesus, I need your love and encouragement to work in me and through me. Lord, I ask you to lead me in the path of righteousness in order to glorify our Father in heaven. This is what David did. When he felt like that, He grabbed the pen and wrote it down in Psalm 143. There's also no slide for it. Show me what you want me to do. Have we asked that to Jesus? Show me what you want me to do. You are my God. Let your good spirit lead me over level ground. And then I stop and I say, angry with God. Can I really say that? Angry with God? No. No, I cannot. When I work through this and I see what the scripture says, the privilege that we have as God's people, I cannot be angry with God at any time throughout the day, regardless of what's happening in my life. Let's go to the last scripture. 2 Peter. It's a long one. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Jesus has the power of God, and His power has given us everything we need to live a life devoted to God. We have these things because we know Him. Jesus chose us by His glory and goodness, through which He also gave us the very great and rich gifts that He promised us. With these gifts, you can share His divine nature. How can I go to God and say, I'm angry? Once you read this and meditate and really and truly sit down and say, I did not understand the truth. We should be grateful for these things. So let us rejoice and encourage one another to strengthen the relationship with Christ and let His light shine through me. I'm going to give you homework, and I'm going to ask you next week, God willing, how many people have you encouraged or you going to encourage this coming week? One? Two? It's between you and God. How many people are you going to encourage this coming week? Believers or non-believers? That's your homework. And you will see how great it feels just to encourage another person to another level. We're going to participate in communion now. If we go to the next slide. The main reason, you want to play for us, Gordon, I'm going to read, and then Juliet and Job will distribute the elements, and I'm going to ask everyone just to wait until we ask for the blessing at the end for it. But let me just read this while we have soft music in the background. The main reason Christ came to this earth was to suffer on our behalf and taking upon Himself the penalty of our sins so that we might live. So that we might live. To be free from sin and encourage others with the gifts that we have received. Because Jesus says, go into all nations. Tell them what is the good news. And let your light shine. It is comforting to know and to be encouraged by this. Hence the purpose of the celebration and the meaning of communion as a child of God. To become part of God's kingdom. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are part of the body of Christ. Communion is a public announcement. You got that? Communion is a public announcement by each individual regarding the death and the risen Christ. Because Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, 25-26, there's no slide for it. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. And then the word or the sentence that you must remember in your heart. Do this in remembrance of Me. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, He took the cup of wine and after supper saying, this is the cup of the new covenant between God and His people. His people. An agreement confirmed by My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He returns. That's why we take communion. Make it meaningful. When you take that bread and that drink and realize what Christ has done for us. You can dish out the elements and then I will pray on it and let everyone just wait until we're all finished. If you have difficulty opening, just put up your hand and someone will come and help you. Okay? Let's just ask the blessing on the bread and the wine. Our loving Father, we can only humble ourselves with a contrite spirit before the Holy One of Israel. God, who are we to come before you? We are sinners. We use our speech to condemn. Because we shouted, crucify him, crucify him. I can hear my voice. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ changed all that on his death. His body was bruised. And we are healed. By his blood we were cleansed, emptied completely. Every corner and every nook of our mind and our heart was cleansed by the death of the cross of Jesus and what he has done for us. And then you poured out your Spirit in our hearts. The encourager, the one that helps us to uplift everyone out there. Help us to realize that. Therefore, we ask for the blessing on the bread and the wine. Not just to take it, but also to practice it in our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, we pray it. Amen.